Hi everybody and welcome to a brand new episode of the Raw Rundown here on Inside the Ropes. My name is Kenny McIntosh. This is episode 39 covering the April 17th, 2017 episode of Monday Night Raw. And I'm joined by my partner in crime, the St. Louis Sweat Hog himself, David J. McCutcheon. Hi David.
Kenny, I'm very disappointed in you, okay? Because I was expecting this to be a big setup here. With the Kamala bowling ball being handed off to Mr. Robert Duffin right here at the start, and it would just be me and him talking about Raw and from now until the end of time. But instead, I get my other best friend to come in and speak to me about wrestling.
Oh, for fuck's listen to you. I mean, first of all, you basically make it like I'm a piece of shit that you have to podcast with. And then at the last second, you do. And my other best friend, fuck off. Anyway, you are, of course, referring to the return of Robert Duffin to Inside the Ropes. Huge success. People going crazy on Twitter about it, tweeting him, tweeting me, tweeting everybody. I know that Sondra and David, were giddy that they got to listen to almost 2 hours. Because the funny thing is that Sondra and David used to just be listeners before. I say just be listeners. I don't mean that in a bad way. But, they would listen to the show, and they didn't know us at the beginning, obviously. And, you know, when you listen to the show, you kind of get to know us, and we all kind of become friends anyway. But then they became part of the show, and then they became hosts on the show, and et cetera, et cetera. But, I guess for you guys, you and Sondra, you guys kind of got to go back to, because it's funny, I didn't realize until I listened to the episode back today, just because I wanted to listen to Robert again, and and when I listened to the old intro, because I put it in there, but I hadn't listened to it yet, and when I listened to it back, I was like, oh, this must be what people feel like when they listen to it, this is the old intro that everybody kind of loved, and people have been tweeting saying, you know, I've only heard Robert on Patreon covering the classic stuff, oh my god, he is as good as you guys say he is, and you know, so I'm glad that people enjoyed it.
He is much more dry than I am. I'm so over the top with everything, but he's so dry and so quick-witted. He's just one of the funniest guys that I've ever talked to, and that's legitimate. I love him so much. I love you, Kenny. In fact, I'm going to just go off on a little bit of a tangent here. I always use the tragedies in my life to sort of make a point to make everybody laugh, but the reason I do that is it dulls the pain of the stuff that I actually went through, right? That's a coping mechanism, right?
Mm-hmm.
And whenever I did lose my mom and I did lose my dad in short fashion, just quick succession one after the other, I was in such a horribly, horribly uncomfortable place in my life. And there was just nonstop. The world doesn't stop spinning whenever you lose someone that you love. And I wish it did, but you still have to work, because if you don't work, then you don't make money. And if you don't make money, you can't pay your bills. And on top of that, you have people, you know, constantly calling you at all hours of the day and night. Bill collectors and all this horrible stuff that you would never want to deal with. And that was my life. That became my life the day that they died, right? I'm the next of kin. And so I would deal with that just nonstop, in addition to all the usual stuff that people deal with that they don't want to deal with in their life. And so for a few months there, I was just in a really depressed state. I was dealing with that constantly. And my one break from all of that hurt and all of that pain and all of the uncomfortableness that came with that loss was listening to Inside the Ropes. And I sincerely thank you guys, and I do sincerely love you guys, because you helped me get through that horrible, horrible time in my life. And without you guys, I'm sure I could have done it, but man, it was so much easier with you guys. And so hearing Robert come back like that, it genuinely brought a tear to my eye. I was so happy about it. I was so giddy about it. I'm still, my week, it made Raw better for me, I think, Kenny. I enjoyed wrestling more because you and Robert, not just Robert either. I always talk about how much I love Robert. The chemistry that you guys have is untouchable. And if I can get one iota of chemistry between either of you guys whenever I speak to you, and that translates to the listener, then I am forever grateful because you guys are the absolute tops when it comes to that stuff. I love you both. I'm so happy you're back.
Oh, that's very nice. It's I can't remember if I told this story on the podcast before, but I remember a couple of years ago, like Robert was, it was kind of when he was beginning to search for like becoming a teacher and like something else in his life, because like I was always the guy with Inside the Ropes. I was like, how can we make it bigger and how can we do more and da 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 da. And that was never Robert's thing. Robert's about the art, you know, like Robert's the guy that like, he would do a theater production in front of 40 people, you know, about an Eastern European, you know, sex slave trade, because he's about the art of it. Whereas I would do the Broadway musical because I really want to make the money eventually. So,
if you really boil it all down, we're not your prototypical wrestling fans that people think.
No. Like, but I remember there was a period, and it must have been, I mean, you will be, when, I hate to ask this on here. When was it that your mom passed away? Was it 2014, 2015?
It was May 4th, 2014. May the 4th be with you. I will never fucking like Star Wars as much as I used to due to that.
That's not good. Well, Star Wars is overrated. But anyway, another conversation for another time. I've never seen it. I'm joking. But I remember around the time that happened, Robert and I don't know if I've ever said this to you, actually. We were considering stopping doing Inside the Ropes.
Yeah, it was up in the air.
We were like, oh, I don't know if we're going to keep doing this. And we'd done it for a while and da-da-da-da. And then we got an email from you, and you had explained that, like, your mum had passed away and it was the worst weekend of your life. And the only 2 hours, I can't remember the exact language, but basically the only 2 hours that you were able to laugh was that. And I remember when I read that, and it was shortly after another one of our listeners had tweeted, or not tweeted, but like sent us a message about he was getting married. And I know he's tweeted us about it, but I just don't want to say his name because I don't feel like it's my place to say it. But right. Like he had said that like he had really bad anxiety, and on his wedding day he listened to us, and that made him relax and laugh and be able to get married and stuff. And we both kind of were like, yeah, we kind of have to do this forever now. Like, we're shackled to do it because, like,
pigeonholed. Two ends of the spectrum, though. It's kind of funny. Like, the worst day of someone's life and what's supposed to be the best day.
Yeah, exactly. And I also, I want to give a shout. Again, I don't want to say names because I don't think it's my place, but I want to give a shout out to DG. He knows who he is. He's tweeted me very recently. Sadly, he's lost his mum, and I sympathise with him so much on that. And he said that Inside the Ropes has helped him get through that with all of us. And if we can do an iota of anything to make people feel in any way better in those kind of moments, then that's great, because that's really what it's about, in trying to feel better. And
it's the greatest service that you can do for someone.
Apart from me getting more money, but yes, I completely agree. You won't offend me with cash, as Bobby Heenan would say.
That was sort of like a really deep, meaningful intro. I cannot wait to talk about midgets dying.
Yeah, we're going to go back to talking about Mini Mankind being date raped by a prostitute with his twin brother. That's a real story, by the way. Mini Mankind. Him and his midget twin brother, these prostitutes tried to like date rape drug them so they could steal their money, and then the date rape drug was so strong because it was meant for a regular sized person that they died.
They just died. They did. That's something we never did in MMW. Date rape is wrong. We never did that. We only do things like the current match that we have set up for Flash at the Beach on May 29th. At Shady Tim's Tattoo Beach Hut in Wrightsville Beach, North Carolina. The Shark Tank match. The loser gets eaten by a shark, Kenny.
I can't wait. Buy your tickets now at fictionaltickets.com.
It's not fictional tickets. You can just PayPal me the money. It's $2.50, and we're going to be doing our Closet of Fame. It's not a haul, but, you know, we work for what we're given.
How nice of you to offer to have people PayPal you the money directly. Cut out the middleman. No need for Ticketmaster.
Yeah.
Just send them the money direct.
They take your fees. I'm not taking anything from you.
Yeah, you're taking a lot more than their fees.
The Mid-Height Express is going into our Closet of Fame, Kenny. don't forget. We are having a Amp at the Beach match, where between Kid Vicious and the Tiny Templar, and they're going to get on the beach, and whoever throws an electrified amplifier into the ocean and kills the other one wins the match.
It's sadly not going to be a best of seven series.
No, it could be. Unless you sub- rather uneventful. I feel like the other one wouldn't put up much of a fight afterwards.
MMW, ladies and gentlemen.
MMW, Revival, Flash at the Beach. And Mini Vader is Vader with a T now. Don't sue. Is scheduled to be there, and as you guys know, our last event was canceled because he exposed himself in public. And
That many people could see it anyway because he's small. So.
Yeah. It wasn't that impressive, but it was there though, regardless. Did get us shut down. So
isn't that a weird thing? Like some midgets are actually quite hung.
I can easily believe this. I've seen
they have like regular sized penises, but they're smaller people, so it looks huge.
Right, I was going to say, think of how the worst thing that you can have in life is gigantic hands, because it makes your dong look smaller, right? So, but imagine being a well-hung midget with tiny hands.
I was doing a podcast earlier today with Adam Blompey over at What Culture, and I was just trying to pop myself to get to it, and we were talking about something about... a woman came into it who, like, had loads of kids. Why are we talking about somebody who had loads of kids? I think it was, like, Helen Hart or something. Somebody had tons of kids.
Sure, yeah.
I just,
like a litter of puppies, nearly.
Yeah, and I just kind of made a passing comment, like, oh, fuck, it must be, like, chucking a sausage roll down a tunnel. And I didn't really think anything of it, but he was just horrified that I'd made that statement. In my head, I went, she had 12 children. It's pretty much a roller coaster now. Do you know what I mean? Like it's been changed.
The ultimate thrill ride.
Vagina subject to change. Do you know what I mean? Like anyway,
it's essentially this, like the Royal Rumble at that point. Who's coming out at number 30?
Yeah, but this is like, ladies, if you're listening to this and you want to have a little boy or a little girl, you go crazy on it. But when you get to number 7 or 8, you know, it's
at that point. I mean,
there's going to be consequences that are irreversible. You just need to be aware of that. I'm trying to help here.
Right. And you know, I think that we're doing a great service.
Your husband could get lost up there by that point. You know, there's no, you never know. Anyway, should we talk about wrestling?
I was talking about wrestling, thank you. Flash at the Beach, May 29th.
Yeah, get your tickets. Just PayPal David the money. And remember,
speaking of getting tickets, by the way, you should probably plug some of your real things that are happening.
If people have stayed on long enough. If you are in Cork or London, Manchester, or Glasgow, please do come along and see Stu Bennett, the artist formerly known as Wade Barrett. He will be with us next week. InsideTheRopes.co.uk for tickets. Just £20 to come hear him tell all the stories. He's going to talk about everything from the core and the Nexus, the League of Nations, etc. Then on May 1st in Birmingham, we're going to be there with Alberto El Patron. Again, same website. And then Goldberg in July and June. InsideTheRopes.co.uk. Goldberg, I think there are a couple of VIPs left in Glasgow. Sold out a VIP in Manchester, sold out a VIP in London, and there is general admission left at the moment, so come along to that. If you're in Ireland, Ticketmaster.ie, we are sold out of Chris Jericho in Belfast, but there are limited general admission tickets left in Dublin. It's going to be held at Vicar Street, so just have a search on the old Ticketmaster.ie and you'll be able to get your tickets there. That's all the plugs, though. Oh, no, also patreon.com/insidetheropes for bonus content. Robert and I are recording the SummerSlam 2002 review. David and I, we're going to be recording a podcast for Lucy Nevins. She wants us to do a ECW One Night Stand review, so we're going to do that very soon.
Yeah!
I will do that.
Lucy. One of my all-time favorites.
There you go. Lucy with an I.
Yes, of course. Do you know the one that annoys... I love Lucy.
Oh, for fuck's sake. The one that annoys me is those people... You know, it's like, my name's Sarah without an H. Well, your name's Sarah then. Not Sarah. I'm not playing that game with you. If there's no H, it's Sarah. You just need to deal with it. That's me saying, my name's Kenny. How do you spell that? S-I-O-B-H-A-N. No, that's Siobhan. Anyway, sorry, Lucy, I've just reared into other things. And also, Sandra and I will be doing an Inside the Ropes In Your House Revenge of the Taker review this week as well, so stay tuned for that. But anyway, let's talk about Raw. It was from Columbus, Ohio at the Schottenstein Center, which I quite like the name of that center, just so you know.
It's a good one. Yeah. No, that's stellar. I like it.
So we open up with Braun Strowman, who comes out for a promo, and he's getting a little bit more booed than I thought he would. Like, people are cheering, but people are also still booing him. So Columbus, Ohio seems to be a Roman Reigns town, so don't go back there.
Well, it is in Ohio, I mean.
Strowman, you know, talks about how proud he is about what he did to Roman Reigns, and he now is, you know, wanting to show the entire locker room who he is. Kurt Angle comes out and, you know, basically says that he's got the night off, that he's going to get Roman Reigns at Payback, and he should be suspended, but he's just going to, you know, he's been given the night off, he's to just go away. And he said he wants more competition, and Angle said, or else what, and Strowman just walked away. I thought this was a pretty fun opening segment, and it was fun seeing Kurt Angle and Braun Strowman in the ring together.
Just kind of surreal, isn't it? Strowman just carrying the show, man.
Do you know why, though? Because the show had a thread, and when shows have a thread, they're much more interesting.
Way more interesting, as opposed to something being all willy-nilly. It had a hook. Gee, what a concept. You tune in, and in the opening minutes, they give you a hook to stay around for the rest of the show. That's something they used to do all the time in the Attitude Era, which is one of the reasons that the Attitude Era was good. Not so much the tits and ass, but stuff like that, the little caveats, the way that they hook you in and line you and reel you and all types of sex positions, Kenny. Braun Strowman, just the most wonderful man on the entire planet.
If I didn't like him before, he'll do something later on that will mean that he can pretty much do anything. I'm still going to like him at the end.
I think my favorite moment in Raw history was whenever last week he came back and just said, "I'm not finished with you," and then ran back in and grabbed Roman Reigns. And so, like, that is the new go-to sex move, right? Like, once you're done, you just leave, and then you just run back in and go, "I'm not finished with you," and then boom, you just go for a second romp. We call that the Strowman, ladies and gentlemen.
Strowman. I mean, David, you've got heart issues. I don't think you should be trying to Strowman at this point.
I should be trying to speak like Braun Strowman at this point.
we get Samoa Joe against Chris Jericho. Seth Rollins on commentary, obviously hyping up the match with Joe and Rollins at Payback. Pretty decent match. Didn't go too long, about 9 minutes, and in the end, Samoa Joe got the Kachina clutch in and got the, you know, kept it on and basically got Jericho to tap out. We then get a post-match promo where Joe sort of talked about, you know, initially he was a hitman, but now it's personal because of what he did to Triple H and Stephanie. And then Rollins said that it will be personal because Joe almost cost him his career and Payback's a bitch. I'm excited about seeing Seth and Samoa Joe going at it at Payback.
I really want Joe to win that match, I'll be perfectly honest. I thought that him beating Chris Jericho clean here was a great move. Jericho's upped his stock, so whenever he loses, it means more than it would have, say, a year and a half ago.
Yeah, it's not like a Fandango loss or anything.
Right, exactly. Him losing actually has some clout to it, and the fact that Joe cut that promo, which was utterly scathing afterwards, that was an amazing promo. Just very strong. It didn't sound scripted. He was just the tone in his voice and the way that he delivered it, it was believable, it was real. Joe is the total package. I'm a big Samoa Joe guy, and this made him look even better. I thought he looked better than Reigns here. Rollins.
He did. I think the thing is that Rollins, I buy him a lot more as a babyface now than I did before his injury.
Yeah.
I think he's got some good sympathy going on, but I like the segment. I think that it's a good story. It's not setting the world on fire or anything, but it's a good, you know, cohesive story that makes sense. And I want to see them fight. And I think that either guy could win, so that makes the match, even more intriguing because there's not an obvious way.
It's so much more intriguing. And this, it's not lighting the world on fire, but it's not lighting the world on fire yet.
Yeah, it could get there. It could get there.
It could.
So then we cut to backstage. Gallows and Anderson are making their way to the ring. The Drifter plays guitar past them, which I'm sure Saunders would have loved. And then it cuts to R-Truth and Goldust, who, as they're making their way out to face the club, are run over by Braun Strowman. It just kills them. As the, you know, the agents try and kind of, you know, pick up the pieces. Braun Strowman running over the Golden Truth is one of my favorite things of all time. And I, somebody put a GIF up on Twitter, and it was like, when you go back to your personal trainer after Easter and he finds that you just ate Easter eggs. Like, it's just what Braun Strowman did to them. So again, a great thread. I loved it.
It was just perfection. The second that they popped up on the screen, I kind of groaned, and then he did that, and I was like, "Yay!" His new gimmick is just like he takes anything that's bad about Raw and he fixes it by killing
it. And he's supposed to be a heel. I love him.
No. He's like my most over baby face on Raw. I love him.
Did you see the ad for the 6-pack challenge on SmackDown?
No, I did not.
So there is a 6-pack challenge on SmackDown with the winner getting a shot at the WWE Championship. Can I tell you the 6 people that are in this, please?
Oh, do I? Here's the thing, Kenny.
Yes!
It's not AJ Styles. So what the fuck?
Well, because AJ Styles is already competing for another championship, but he knew the people in it.
Exactly, shouldn't it? He should be the one competing for the championship, not... Oh, God.
So here we go. We've got Sami Zayn.
That's great. I want Sami to win. Next.
Mojo Rawley.
Fuck him forever. Next.
Dolph Ziggler.
Fuck him forever fucking twice.
Eric Rowan.
Oh my God.
Luke Harper.
Okay, but they haven't done anything to build him for the main event.
Okay, so the last person in the 6-pack challenge to become the number one contender for the WWE Championship is...
Is it Ty Dillinger, at least? Someone new and fresh.
It is someone new. Jinder Mahal.
What the fuck? Why does he constantly ruin everything?
I love the idea.
Is this like an elimination style or is it one pinfall?
I don't know. 6-pack challenge can be... I think 6-pack challenge is a one pinfall.
Oh, fuck.
I love the idea that on a roster...
He's going to fucking small package Dolph Ziggler and be the number one contender.
On a roster that has Nakamura, AJ Styles...
Even Kevin Owens! I know he's champion, who cares?
But instead of them, Jinder Mahal has been chosen as a higher priority. Fuck me.
Who wins that, do you think?
I think it's Rowan, to be honest.
And meanwhile, okay. So it's going... Let's just assume that's going to be Rowan. I'll say it's Harper, but...
Right.
Let's say it's one of those two, right? That is going to be in the main event. Eric Rowan versus Randy Orton. While the undercard is Kevin Owens versus AJ Styles. I know this isn't the SmackDown summary, but I never get to talk about this shit, so goddamn it, we're rolling with it. That is an atrocity, Kenny.
I agree. Listen, I need to fucking cover it. So, like, feel bad for me. But I do have better news for you.
Well, fuck. You can tell me that I have the clap right now, Kenny. And I go, well, hey, that's better news than what you just told me.
PWTorch.com have reported that a duo are on their way to SmackDown Live.
Who is that?
Apparently, SmackDown Live in the next, in a very, very soon, we'll be seeing the Miracle Mike Bennett and Maria Kanellis.
Oh, I love me some Maria. I'm like Carl Anderson in New Japan with Maria. I'm going to start doing the little tango dance and put the rose in my mouth and try to.
And Mike Bennett. Mike Bennett's really good. Like he has a good. He fits in WWE. Like he will be good there.
He is a prototypical WWE guy. The fact that he is not in WWE already has confounded me for years. And SmackDown could really use some heels right now, as we see with Jinder fucking Mahal. So just bring him in tonight, right? Just pop him in to that match instead of Jinder Mahal. And have him win. Fuck, I don't care at this point.
Yeah, like, listen, I'll do a Kickstarter to get that to happen at this point. Get Jinder out of the match. We then go to Kurt Angle. You know, I love Kurt Angle, but he sent one referee to tell Braun Strowman that he needs to leave. And Braun Strowman's like, I'll leave when I want to. Unless you have a problem with that, referee just leaves. So we then get
I'll leave when I want to. I love the way that Braun Strowman speaks to people makes me so happy inside. He's very nonchalant, matter of fact with everything that he says. Just like, you ain't gonna fucking tell me to do shit. I'm just like, oh, I love him so much. He's so funny.
But we had the club in the ring, and they talked about, you know, Braun Strowman gave Golden Truth the United Airlines treatment.
It's so good.
Now they were the ones on standby, and that's not cool, and et cetera. And Kurt Angle better round up some nerves from the locker room, and he brings Enzo and Cass. So we get Enzo and Cass against the club. Went about 10 minutes, and in the end, Gallows and Anderson, the heels cheated and were devious, and they won. And that's a good story.
Kenny, I have a confession to make.
Okay.
I loved this match.
It was fun.
I thought this was the best match that either team has had in the WWE.
I definitely think it's the case for Enzo and Cass, and I can't think of one for the club off the top of my head, so I guess by default we kind of have to get it for now, yeah.
This was really stiff. Like, I don't know if you noticed that. They were beating the shit out of Enzo. I'm like, okay, what did he do to piss these guys off? Because they were stiffing him. They were Gallows was taking the tape to his eyes. Like they were roughing him over pretty well, especially Gallows. So
I always get scared when I watch Cass in the ring. I'm like, oh no, Vince is gonna push him. So it's always like in the back of my mind. But no, I thought it was fun, and I'm glad that Gallows and Anderson got the win.
It was a good stiff wrestling contest.
Yeah, and when Anderson
and
sort
hey,
of tossed,
Kenny, I do love a good stiff one.
Well, I'm not going to go into your proclivities, but Anderson did...
You wouldn't be the first to go there.
Anderson threw Enzo, like, knees first into the top rope, I thought it was a really good spot. It was good.
Brutal.
Up next is Miz TV with Dean Ambrose, where, you know, Ambrose comes out before Miz introduces him. Miz talks about... He basically talks down to Ambrose, but, you know, you had so many opportunities... You were the number one draft pick. You were the WWE champion at SummerSlam. Then you were a blip on the radar at WrestleMania. You never break the glass ceiling because you're lazy and complacent. And then, you know, Ambrose comes back and says, you know what, I'm the Intercontinental Champion. I beat you to get it. And it all ends with Ambrose going for Miz and, you know, almost getting the dirty deeds and leaving. And what I want to say about this segment is when I saw the ad come up earlier in the show saying that it was going to be Miz TV with Dean Ambrose, I was kind of like, oh, that's a shame. Like, you know, because they're both on Raw and it's kind of, they're going to go back to something that they've already done.
Yeah, that's what I thought too.
But then when I watched the segment, I was like, that was excellent. I was so captivated by the segment. And I think it's just The Miz. The Miz was excellent here. He works these little like shoot comments into his promos. And I think they work really well. And I think he brought out the best in Ambrose. And I'm up for seeing them in a title match now, which I didn't think I would be again so soon.
Yeah, I wasn't completely sold on it. I thought that this is like one of the segments that didn't resonate with me. as much as I thought it would throughout Raw, but I still enjoyed it for what it was. And I think I'm just kind of tired of seeing these two interact because we saw it on SmackDown for so long. And I was ready to see, whenever I saw The Miz come over, I was ready to see him do something new and interesting with someone different. But it, for us to be seeing this so many times in a row and, you know, just these two interacting so frequently and in, you know, frequent weeks even, I thought that they did a splendid job with it, I guess is the best way I can put it.
I thought that Miz here was great. Like, I was worried before about how he might do on Raw, and I think that he was cutting almost like a main event level performer promo here. So I'm more optimistic about the Miz's future on Raw than I was before.
Yeah.
But up next we got Braun Strowman dragging Kalisto by the arms through the backstage area. I woke up to so many tweets about this. I can only imagine Kenny's face right now, and blah, blah, blah. And then he picks him up and flings him into a garbage dumpster. And all I'm going to say is a tweet that Brandon Stroud put out earlier today, or last night, that I think pretty much says everything that I could say. And that is... and of course, I'm not going to fucking find it now. he basically just said, when Kalisto's in there, maybe he can find his old promos. So good.
So good.
The second that
we saw this, Val just goes, Kenny's going to like that one.
Kenny loved that one. So
just dragging him. I'm just giggling thinking about it.
But then he like stands up, but then Big Show shoulder blocks Braun into the wall, and like I was on the train watching it, and I was just like, oh fuck, you know, like, yeah. I bought into it, and Big Show's like, you know, pick on someone your own size, and that's going to be our main event. And, you know, before I might have been like, oh no, Braun Strowman and Big Show. But after the match they had in February, and I think it was LA, I was like, yeah, give me this again. That was fun.
Yeah. Yeah. No. I was kind of trepidatious whenever I saw that this was going to be where it led later for the main event. Because I'm like, man, the first time they did it, I thought maybe they caught lightning in a bottle. You know what I mean? And I didn't know if they could replicate that or not, but I'll be damned, man. We'll get into it later, but yeah, they did.
Yeah, I thought the segment was really good to build up the main event. Then we got TJ Perkins with his new heel attitude against Jack Gallagher. We had Neville on the outside watching, then Austin Aries came out to watch it as well. And towards the end, we had Neville kind of... There was so many cool spots in this match. You know, Gallagher did the umbrella spot off the top rope. He dabbed at one point. Aries was out on the outside, and Perkins shoved Gallagher into him, knocking him over. And then Aries gets in the apron, but Neville trips him up, and TJ gets the win. I thought this was one of the most fun cruiserweight matches that I've seen on the show in a long time, because I felt like I enjoyed the story and I liked the four guys that were involved. Like, it wasn't like, no offense to him, but like when Mustafa Ali comes out, I'm like, ugh, I don't care. But, like, I like all four of these.
Mustafa Ali had an excellent tweet the other day about racism and xenophobia. So, he's really fun on Twitter.
Yeah, and if he can parlay that into Raw, that'd be great. But, like, I love these four guys, and I think that they did a really good job here, and I really enjoyed the match.
Yeah, I will say it's hard for him to parlay that onto the WWE whenever they were the biggest Donald Trump supporters who really dislikes Muslims.
To be fair, though, it's funny how they have not mentioned Donald Trump once on television point.
They have not. But, you know, it's coming into their backstage politics. I'm wondering how they'll react with Sami Zayn tweeting out about the Bowling Green massacre. Did you see that?
I did.
Never forget.
Oh, Sami. What a
Sami,
babe.
A man after my heart, ladies and gentlemen. My patched together heart.
So we then go to a segment backstage where Akira Tozawa is, you know, congratulating Apollo Crews, and then Titus O'Neil comes up and tells him about the Titus brand and how he can make an impact, and he could make, like, you know, he could help people on spring break with Apollo Cruises, or a bar doing music with Apollo Blues and all these different sort of things. And he gave him his card and said, you know, you need the Titus brand to hook you up and get you further moved on. And I was watching this segment, and I had a couple of thoughts. And, you know, I thought Titus O'Neil has a nice suit on, and I thought I'm going to try and say something nice about him. But instead of saying something nice or not nice, I just have one question. And I want you to answer this for me, David, if you can.
Sure.
So Titus O'Neil, if I'm working this out correctly, is saying that if Apollo Crews joins his brand, this will make him a bigger success on Raw. Is that right?
Yes. I think he said that he will get him some more money for his impending baby arrival.
Okay, so there we go. Here is my question. Show me some Titus brand success stories.
He was really good at college football, I think.
No. Show me someone in wrestling that he put the Titus brand behind and got to a main event level.
To be fair, how many people has he put the Titus brand on, Kenny?
Because nobody fucking wants it.
Maybe it's a diamond in the rough, though, right?
Do you know what it's like?
There were people who passed on signing the Beatles. There was a guy who said that rock and roll was dead.
Fuck off. Don't you dare compare the Beatles to Apollo Crews. Fucking hell. Do you know what this is like? The Titus brand would be like David sitting outside of a Raw taping with a little booth saying, wrestling lessons here.
Here's the thing, Kenny. At MMW, we do not train anyone. We expect all of our guys to come and be fully prepared on how to roll around in broken glass, okay?
You're a ridiculous human. The Hardy Boys got interviewed backstage by Mike Rome, and Matt was kind of like 15% broken, 85% Hardy Boy. They talked about, you know, the current crop of wrestlers are more athletic than anyone they've ever faced. It was great to return at WrestleMania. Sheamus and Cesaro show up and kind of compliment them on WrestleMania 17. Tonight it's a singles match with Cesaro and Jeff, and they kind of agree to be respectful heading into Payback. And then we get the match with Jeff Hardy and Cesaro, which I guess we can just talk about it all at once here. We get Jeff Hardy versus Cesaro, and it's pretty fun. Like, it goes like 13 minutes. I don't think it was like a classic, but it was quite surreal to see Cesaro versus Jeff Hardy.
Yeah, it was definitely strange, to say the least.
But good strange.
Yeah. This was solid. It looked like Jeff was a little bit sluggish compared to how he used to be. So I don't know if that was by the psychology of the match, because I thought that it worked all right in the match. He was selling very well. The match was, by and large, 75% Cesaro, and it looked like Jeff just kind of got lucky at the end and snuck out a win.
Yeah, but the big news coming out of this whole scenario is Dave Meltzer mentioned today in the Wrestling Observer Radio that the plan in WWE is for Matt Hardy to indeed be broken very soon.
Oh.
I'm so excited. They're
yes.
trying to work. They are trying to work out the deal with Anthem and how they can get the rights to sort of do it. And you know what? I was thinking about this, and I know that, you know, we all kind of wanted him to come in broken and all that sort of stuff, but I actually think it makes a better story for them to come back as the Hardys and for him to find a way to become broken, because you don't really want to use the TNA continuity.
Right. Well, so plus, I mean, even if you wanted to use the TNA continuity, they came in and he did his delete and his yes thing, and then they ended up winning the titles. Then he ends up tweeting that the gold has repaired his broken brilliance, right? Whenever they inevitably lose the gold, maybe he will lose the tape that is taping together broken Matt Hardy.
Oh, I'm so excited.
I am sexually aroused at the thought of broken Matt Hardy being on Monday Night Raw and me being able to talk about it weekly.
He's so good.
Just the best. Ah, I love him.
Up next, we get it been hyped all night, video packages, really cool, number one contenders match for the Raw Women's title, Nia Jax, Alexa Bliss, Mickie James, and Sasha Banks. This went almost 15 minutes. I thought this was great. I really enjoyed it.
It was better than either of the women's matches at WrestleMania.
Yeah, and like, now I'm not saying that this match was like technically the best, but I loved the stories. I loved the way that all the women were trying to win the match. I love how Nia Jax is booked. I love how she's presented. I loved when Alexa Bliss went up top and Nia Jax just looked at her and she was like, oh, nope, okay. And just like got off the apron. And you know, Martin McKee hit on a point on Twitter that I think is worth bringing up is that, you know, Alexa Bliss is very clearly, you know, a heel, apart from when she's in her hometown, in which case she's not. And Sasha Banks is a babyface and Nia Jax is a monster. But Mickie James is kind of the one that's undefined right now. You know, she's not quite got a babyface or a heel character. And I think that's what she's... I thought that she did well here. And when she put that armbar thing on Nia Jax, it looked sick. It was really good.
It was fantastic.
But I think she's suffering a little bit from the kind of lack of character. But I do want to say... I thought this was match of the night, and I really enjoyed it a lot more than I thought I was going to going into it.
I don't know what my match of the night was. I thought that this was... the reason I really liked this Raw is it was chock full of great wrestling. Like, most of the matches were really worth watching.
Mm-hmm.
I really enjoyed it. This was a great match, and I think the right person won. I know a lot of people are wanting Sasha, but... Here's the thing, Kenny. Whenever you bring in somebody who just lost the title on the other side, they still have that bit of sizzle to them, right? And you have to eat that steak while it's still warm. You don't want it to go, you know, lukewarm or cold. You want to digest it while it's still piping hot. So this was the right time to strike with this hot iron. And I think that in the long run, you'll get Bayley versus Sasha eventually. But this is the story to tell right now, I think.
Yeah, I would concur. So from there, we have so Alexa Bliss is obviously going on to Payback to face Bayley, which should be a lot of fun. We then got Finn Balor returning to the ring. He beat Curt Hawkins very quickly, which was good to see him back. So I'm presuming that he's got over his concussion, so that's good. We got a quick Bray Wyatt promo about the House of Horrors match at Payback with Randy Orton. Not really much to say. It was just a standard Bray Wyatt promo. But then we got a great Chris Jericho promo backstage where he was talking about Kevin Owens and Payback. And then he was calling Mike Rome Tom, and he was going to put him on the list. And then Elias Samson walks behind him with a guitar, and Jericho puts the Drifter on the list. This was great.
Absolute dynamite. I loved it. I like that he did the babyface thing and let the announcer off the hook, technically, but then still managed to get somebody to go on the list. My only issue with it is that Elias Samson didn't get any type of reaction to him going on the list. I think that that would have been a good moment to showcase Elias Samson, if that's the way that you're going to do it.
All I want to see is Elias Samson. I want to see Elias Samson turn up every Monday night and just be in the background playing guitar. That's it.
In all honesty, that would probably do way more to get him over with the crowd than him going out and losing squash matches.
I think so. There was a backstage segment with Alicia Fox, Dana Brooke, and Emma, where Emma was trying to basically make up that Dana Brooke had been spreading lies about
Alicia Fox.
Dana Brooke cannot react to humans in scripts. Like, you can be like, okay, Dana, look shocked. What? Right, Dana, look angry. Okay. What? Dana, look happy. What? Like, she can't, it's just the same thing. I don't know what's going on.
I like that you're essentially a cow whenever you do that. You're like,
no, I'm not calling her a cow. I'm not calling her a cow. So we saw Heath Slater and Rhino very briefly when they were like, you know, having a bit of banter, and then they saw Braun Strowman and they shat themselves.
I do love that Rhino was eating his cheese and crackers.
Continuity.
I like it.
Main event time, Braun Strowman versus The Big Show. They go like 15 minutes. Really, really stiff fight that they have. And then in the end, Strowman goes up and superplexes Big Show. And the ring breaks. John Cone, the referee, does the best bump I've ever seen.
Oh, huge props to John Cone for this bump.
He just, like, clearly, like, he thought it was going to have a little bit more time to give. And then it just collapsed.
Collapsed, and so did he.
What a bump. So, what did you think of the match overall? I actually thought it was just as good as their first match. I think they managed to keep me invested just as much, and I thought Big Show did a good job of putting Braun over.
This was a different match than the first one they had, so I was pretty excited about it. Just that alone, I mean, two guys that size having two different types of matches, I think that's kind of impressive. There was a lot of really ugliness to this. The drop kicks by Braun weren't that great. They tried an arm drag on Big Show, and that just, that was the worst arm drag I think I've ever seen. That was really rough looking.
Isn't when wrestling's ugly, it's kind of like, it's quite good? Because
that's what I was going to get at, actually, is there's a sense of grittiness and realism to whenever something doesn't look pitch-perfect spot-on, right? Because the term spot-on, what's it got in it? A spot, right? So, and whenever two big angry guys are going at it, the last thing you want to see them do is a stupid spot. You want to see them beat the shit out of each other, which is kind of... And this was like a triathlon and big man, strong man, you know? So this was really cool. They kept teasing the high spot, and the wife was like, God, they keep on teasing this so much that I'm afraid they're going to do it and actually pay it off. And then they did. They actually did do the high spot and actually paid it off. I did not notice until afterwards that they had replaced the turnbuckle LEDs with normal turnbuckles, which is kind of a tell that they were going to implode the ring. So for anyone who was interested, yes, that was obviously fixed. It's not something that the ring just exploded. Don't tell that to John Cone, though, after the bump he took. this was a really good match. This was worthy of being in the main event. And I've never seen anybody who has like two dozen matches under his belt like Braun Strowman has, who has managed to accomplish as much in terms of impressiveness with athleticism as he has. Because Goldberg was really impressive, but he didn't really do anything that was that athletic and impressive. You know, he would occasionally do like the little tilt-a-whirl backflip thing, right? But that wasn't a move. That was just for posturing. And then, you know, the spear and the jackhammer, and, you know, that was your Goldberg match. But Braun's doing fucking nip-ups, and he's doing all types of shit.
He was, like, yeah, I mean, who's had two matches with the Big Show back-to-back that have been good?
Like,
that you would go back and rewatch. Braun Strowman is great. I will not hear a bad word said about him. He is the best.
They got the fucking jackpot with Braun Strowman.
Do you know what I'm going to do here?
They got the big man in him. They got the strong man in him. They got the personality in him, and they got the athleticism. What the fuck?
I know what I'm going to give this Raw score-wise.
I do as well. And before we wrap that up, though, I must say, Braun Strowman, I'm going to just lay it all on the line here. A once-in-a-generation athlete.
Yeah, like how he does a nip-up, I'm just flabbergasted.
Utterly floored.
And like, it's funny, I was talking to a wrestler and he was like, it's not that big a deal, he can do a fucking flip up. And I'm like, look at the fucking size of him. Look
He's
at the size of him.
Pounds! For fuck's sake.
Anyway.
Man. Like, if you're not impressed with that, then, you know, fuck, man.
Jealousy.
You're delusional.
In terms of this show, I am going to give this a 9 out of 10.
Wow.
I thought, because I enjoyed this show so much. Like, there was a thread throughout the night. There was Samoa Joe versus Chris Jericho. There was the tag match, which was really good with Enzo and Cass in the club. There was the Miz TV that I thought was really good. I loved the cruiserweight stuff. I thought that the Hardys and Sheamus Cesaro stuff was interesting. I loved the women's title four-way, or the number one contender. Finn Balor returned. We had, We had Braun Strowman and Big Show. I just thought that the show flowed really well, and I couldn't really... There's not much that I could say they could have done better, so I'm going to give it a 9 out of 10.
It's kind of funny going into this, because I saw a few people complaining about the show, and I watched it, and before I even, like, looked at anything, I was charging my phone. So I watched it, and I was just like, man, I don't know if I'm just in a good mood because Robert Duffin's back, but I love this show. And so hearing you gush about it the way that I'm about to with my matching 9 out of 10 score, it's sort of reaffirming that me and you have excellent taste in wrestling, Kenny.
I think we do. I think we do. And the other thing about this show is it built a load of stories, and it built them well, and it was effective. And, somebody had said, a couple of people tweeted me, and they said, how many times are they going to do the rope break thing? You're like, well, they've not done it in 6 years, and they want to get Braun Strowman over. So, like, and, you know, if you wanted to talk about if that spot was successful, look at the crowd when they do it. They lose their minds. It was a great ending to a really fun show.
Yeah, no, it was phenomenal. It was just a good show from start to finish. A lot of good storytelling, excellent wrestling. I watch wrestling for wrestling, Kenny, and man, oh man, and characters too. We don't have enough characters in WWE today, and Braun Strowman's an excellent character. he's everything I need in wrestling, you know.
He is. Now, just to kind of wrap things up. So David and I are going to try and get together this week to do the one night stand for Lucy on Patreon. You can go to insidetheropes.co.uk for tickets to any ITR live shows, whether it's Wade Barrett or Alberto El Patron or Goldberg. Chris Jericho is ticketmaster.ie for Dublin. David, where can people find you on Twitter?
They can find me on the Twitter machine over at Zoopsoul. That's ZOOPSOUL. I am pretty great, not as great as Robert Duffin. At Bertie, B-E-R-T-E-I-E, pardon me, _ I-T-R, Bertie _ I-T-R on Twitter.
So thank you very much. You can get me on Twitter at KennyMC1985. Thank you so much, everyone, for listening, for supporting us. I really appreciate it. We will be back very soon. And David... be nice to somebody you don't know. Give them a hand job.
Well, I mean, you could, but, you know, I mean, it depends on... I always dislike the term hand job and blow job, right? Because it implies that there's going to be some compensation, right? A job, you know? But speaking of blow jobs, I nearly gave myself one at the end whenever the credits rolled to this Raw, Kenny. Do you know why?
Why is that?
This 9 out of 10 Raw did not have Roman Reigns on it.
Yay! So with that in mind, to play us out is the man who I very much appreciate not being on the show. Here's Roman Reigns. We'll see you next week. Roman Reigns. He ruins everything. Causes an ineffective character. Anyway, Roman Reigns. That was the markiest thing I've ever said.